Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but it is the Father who dwells in me, who does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, who will send you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows that Spirit. You know that Spirit, because that Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. "Show us the Father," asked Philip. I'm not sure what Philip expected. Some kind of proof? What could that look like or be? Certainly not an image. No golden calf or even a temple or a church. No patriarchal picture of a bearded father. Is that going to do it? Even the physical fact of seeing Jesus is not enough. And I submit that even the physical fact of seeing the resurrected Jesus would not be sufficient. Strikes me, that's why the original Gospel, St. Mark, doesn't even bother with physical sightings. Or if we read to the end of this Gospel, we see that John has Jesus criticizing Thomas for demanding to see. But perhaps Philip is hoping to see and be seen as Jesus sees, and as Jesus is seen by the Creator, the Mother, the Father. In relationship, abiding. Perhaps Philip is saying, "Connect us to God and we will be at peace. Abide with us. Make your home with us." Jesus' entire ministry, his whole life, has been about connecting us to God, the source and creator of life, the only way God can be shown. Jesus' own relationship with that source, with that creator of life, is what makes Jesus who he is, God's own Son. We see him as such. Jesus is able, empowered, sent to give life because he abides, is connected completely to God. "Take my word for it," Jesus says. "Believe me. But if you don't, if you can't, if you need more," and it seems that we all do, "believe me because of the works themselves." So I say, as Lutherans, let's not be fearful of this language about works. For Jesus, his works are the essence of faith and trust. The works that he does are transformative. They are gifts, freely given, no quid pro quo. They show the Creator because they give life. And in this sense of creation and of Jesus' actions giving life, we surely can understand that Jesus was with God in creation from the beginning. Jesus' works are about giving life, about making connections, abiding, dwelling with others in their hearts, works of life that create and build relationships so that there need not be requests like, show us. Because through Christ's actions of love, of care, a complete regard for us, we abide in Christ and in God the Creator. See me as I see you, as fully valued, loved, child of God, and you will see the Creator God, the Mother, the Father. In that seeing, that connection, the faith and trust, you will do even greater works than me, greater works than Jesus. Is that possible? Absolutely. Feeding the thousands. It's one story that appears in all four Gospels. But we have power to feed millions. We have power to eradicate hunger. In the U.S., we even demonstrated that power way back in the Johnson administration by cutting into poverty and hunger. But then we lost will. Shall we say we lost spirit? Developed a different spirit. Jesus was a healer. Extraordinary healings, one by one. We have the power, the knowledge, the ability to bring health care to many more, if not all, in our nation and many places. But we cannot generate the will. The spirit is weak. Jesus' ministry was to many, especially the lost. Jesus' welcome is broad. His arms are outstretched to all. The ideals of our nation reflect this heart. Give us your lost, it says. But we live by fear and divisiveness, by exclusion and mean-spiritedness, along with much of the rest of the world. We live by a different spirit. That's why Jesus says the world cannot receive the spirit he's talking about. We gather today to celebrate Pentecost, because the spirit of truth empowers a relationship of healing, of community, of welcome, of feeding. But the world cannot receive this spirit. Is there any doubt that our world lives by a spirit of fear and divisiveness? Is there any doubt that our world lives by a spirit of lies and not truth, fake and false facts? Jesus confronted a similar false spirit in his confrontation with the religious leaders of his day and with the massive political entity, the Roman Empire. But still, he says that you will do greater works than me. How can this be? How is it possible? The next line tells us, explains everything. Because I am leaving. Because I am going to the one who created and sent me. Jesus is leaving, but he's not just walking out the door. He is leaving by the cross, hung there by the fearful and violent spirit of the world, religious authorities, and Roman rule. It is the cross which shows us that Jesus stands with the lost, the victims, the sinners, even unto death. The cross shows us that divisiveness and exclusion kills and reveals the spirit of the world as what it is, death-dealing. Then Jesus, the crucified and risen, shows us, gives us, embraces us with forgiveness and the promise of life. By his death and resurrection, his leaving, we receive the spirit of truth, the truth of ourselves and of the world, in the truth of God's creative life, giving embrace of forgiveness, the promise of life. Abundant life, John says. Doesn't that mean greater works than Jesus even himself does? So, Show us the Creator, the giver of life. We see God when we see the truth of ourselves before the cross, when we see our need to be restored, to be freed from fear and selfishness, to be restored in relationships, for them to be repaired with others and with God. For then we see also God in forgiveness and the promise of new life, in deep relationship, abiding with us, embracing us as family. We see God revealed by the Spirit of truth that lives with us always as we encounter those who long for healing, for welcome, for food, who themselves long to be seen as children of God. In these things, we see and we say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.